Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm Shane Northrup.
And I'm Jonathan Charney.
And this is episode 38. Now, today we're going to talk about the explosive company Samsung, giant robots, and some hacking. Why don't you start us off?
An explosive. Oh, jeez. And unfortunately, he's actually not far from wrong. Samsung is having more problems with their Note 7. As my co-host said, they're exploding, literally, again.
Yeah, it's funny because they just put out a recall. I don't know, a little bit of a recap on what happened before. Their phones were starting to catch fire, so they recalled them and sent out replacements with little green stickers to say that the batteries weren't explosive anymore.
And on fire, he's actually, you know, saying there was people getting burned, houses and cars being burned down, airplanes being evacuated. And unfortunately, it's happened again on their recalled, remanufactured, or whatever they're actually calling it. Their fixed models are actually exploding and catching on fire.
They're also getting really hot, too.
So much so that T-Mobile is temporarily suspending all sales of the Note 7 and exchanges for replacement Note 7 devices. Basically, you can't get it anymore in T-Mobile. AT&T says we're no longer exchanging new Note 7s at the time, pending further investigation. Samsung said in a statement last month that the issue of an overheating was caused by a rare, quote-unquote, by the way, manufacturing error that resulted in the battery's anode and cathode, positive and negatives, coming into contact. But they said they fixed that. So
sounds to me like it's not a problem with the battery, but a problem with the phone itself, like that, the connections.
This is what I was pointing out to people. I remember having a couple of heated exchanges, if you want to call it, with people, and like, oh no, it's a battery issue. I said, no, this is a hardware issue. Because if the battery is exploding, what's causing it to explode? Like, specifically, I remember in one of the press releases saying, don't use the phone and charge it at the same time. What?
That's a standard thing for most phones. Trickle charging is probably one of the best use cases for the for a phone itself.
And like Apple, matter of fact, it won't, like, I don't even think it lets you get to 100%. Like, it'll get to 100% and it'll back it, let the battery drain, then keep going. It doesn't actually keep the battery at 100%.
Right.
And let's see, after a replacement started emitting smoke in a cabin in an airplane, a man in Kentucky reported woke up to a bedroom full of smoke from a replacement Note 7. An update on Monday, Samsung said it understood the concerns of the carriers and consumers about their new released replacement devices. And unfortunately, this isn't the only thing that's happening.
So another thing that Samsung's having a problem with is there is concern of exploding Samsung washing machines. That's a little bit more severe than a phone, I'd say.
Repeat that just one more time.
Exploding Samsung washing machines.
That sounds horrible. On multiple levels. Not only do you lose your laundry, you're losing your washing machine.
So the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission issued a warning about some specific top-loading washing machines made by the company between March 2011 and April 2016.
So it's just one particular model?
A few models.
Okay.
So CPSC is advising customers to only use delicate cycles when washing bedding, water-resistant, and bulky items. Apparently, if you use these items, what essentially happens is the vibrations pose a risk of personal injury and property damage. So what'll happen is it'll shake the tumbler loose and somehow, like, cause an explosion.
Wow.
It's a little ridiculous. It sounds a little ridiculous, but it's like something that's been reported on. Now, although this is a thing that customers have complained about, so Samsung itself has to say that it is in rare cases when these things happen, and it's only when washing bedding or bulky or water-resistant items. They said themselves, and I quote, "However, it is important to note that Samsung customers have completed hundreds of millions of loads without an incident since 2011. Seems like they're trying to save themselves a little bit.
So the interesting thing is, articles I've read and things I've seen online, people are comparing this problem they're currently having to the Ford Pinto.
Yes.
Which, when in 1977, was one of, if not the largest, recall in U.S. history.
Now, the Ford Pinto thing is a little ridiculous, though, if you know anything about cars. It was mostly just because the fuel tank was in the back.
Yeah.
And people were afraid of it exploding. Like, it rarely happened.
Well, even if it didn't happen, there was still a giant panic. I mean, it's one of the reasons I think Pintos are hard to find now.
Well, my brother actually has one.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a 76, though. I don't think it's a 77.
But, wow.
It's got purple shag carpet in it.
For Samsung, I mean, they were, I'd say they're a top tier manufacturer. If you're going to talk about products, their television products are amazing. I mean, their cell phones like the S7 are amazing.
And to just kind of give you an idea, I just kind of wanted to give you an idea about like how bad these explosions can be. Like, the article says itself that a vulnerable washing machine may vibrate violently, which taxes a heavy load, when taxing a heavy load. So it can cause the tub to become unfastened, resulting in an explosion that can destroy the machine and anything next to it.
Oh, so basically what happens, the tub becomes disconnected from like a drive shaft type of thing, and it just keeps spinning. Oh, geez. So it vibrates itself to death.
Yes. And so there's a quote from a gentleman who was saying, this is Rob Indrell. And he was saying that, and I quote, "My wife and I had to jump on it to keep it from destroying the laundry room. And it still punched a big hole in a brand new wall."
Wow.
So they need to really watch themselves, because it seems like everyone's just going to associate Samsung with explosions.
See, here's the thing. I don't know if they will. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm making Note 7 jokes. Like, I have friends who are like, hate the iPhone, and I'll make a joke. It's like, hey, at least my phone might not, you know, won't cause my house to burn down. But
yeah, but
it's, I don't think this is going to do, I think they've got on the damage and control enough that I don't think it's going to cause too much harm.
If it keeps up, though, that's the thing. Because like you were saying with the Ford Pinto thing, there weren't very many recorded cases of the cars just exploding. They'd have to be hit in a major accident or something like that.
Well, it became
a thing where if you saw Ford Pintos on the street, people would drive safer around you, try not to stay at their distance because they were afraid you were going to blow up.
Kind of like if you were driving a Ford Crown Vic. I mean, everybody assumes you're a cop type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. See, if they have any more problems, I think legitimately they're going to have brand issues.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I do think they have a little bit of recovery to do. I kind of think what they should do, honestly, is just go to the Note 8. I think what they should say is come with some public relations line about how we're abandoning the Note 7 so we can go on the Note 8. Here's a free gizmo or gadget, you know, just something, just a ton of goodwill, throw something out. And with a couple of years, nobody's going to
remember
it. They're just going to go, hey, the Note 8's out. Then they're going to have a little bit of issues. But I guarantee if they do it right, nobody is going to remember.
Mm-hmm. Well, unlike Samsung Apple, is a Korean company, isn't it?
Yeah, South Korea.
So maybe it's some ploy that North Korea is getting into their tech.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
I'm just joking. That was a bad joke.
That's a little bit of a stretch, but you never know, honestly. I do think Samsung, I think this is an easier hurdle to get over than Apple's lack of a headphone jack, honestly.
Really?
The reason why, for me, I keep thinking about use cases. Like, for me, at night, I plug my cell phone into a pair of computer speakers, and I listen to it when I go to bed. Now, my issue with that is, in order to do this, I'm going to have to buy another dongle on my iPhone.
I'd rather buy a dongle than have my phone explode.
No, yeah, but don't get me wrong. Say for some reason they completely fix the problem, people are going to say, I have an awesome phone. Where the people with the iPhone 7 are going to go, I still need a dongle that takes up additional room. That's the reason I think in the long run, Apple's going to have a bigger hurdle than exploding cell phones.
I don't know. I just think that if we find any more technology of Samsung exploding, it might end up ruining the brand.
That I agree with. And I think it has to be something
It's one thing for phones to catch on fire because, like, I've been thinking, like, people have been saying for years that lithium-ion batteries can explode and will explode. Now, washing machines, on the other hand, that's another thing. Now, what's going to happen with their TVs? What's going to happen with their, you know, computer lines?
I do think, however, and pardon me because this is a little bit darker than I usually normally am, if something tragic happens, whether it's a TV, a phone, a washing machine, whatever, if somebody, I do think if somebody else dies because of this, I think Samsung has a major PR problem.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's been any, I don't remember if there's been any deaths, but I think if it's a tragic death, say like, an unfortunate, like a kid, I think they're having problems. I think right now it's still recoverable, but I do think they're on the edge of anything good happening.
And we are about done with this segment. Once we get back, we're going to talk to you guys about more giant robots. So please stick around. The good stuff's a-coming.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm Shane Northrup.
And I'm Jonathan Charney.
And this is episode 38. Now we're going to talk to you guys about some more giant robots.
Now we got a pair of stories for you. The first one is mine. And how many of you, would like a transformer in real life? And somebody did just that. But by the way, it voids the warranty. So pretty much what they did is they took a BMW, if I remember correctly, and yes, turned it into a transformer. Pretty much what happens is these basically panels pop out, the doors go up, and there's actually a video for it, and it's
like hydraulics lifted up to where it's standing straight up, and then the hood, I think, flips down to reveal a head.
Yeah, it's actually pretty neat. I don't think this is actually drivable. I
mean, well, they had it drive out of the car, out of the truck that it was in.
Was it remote or did somebody walk out of it?
See, and that's something I don't know. It's a Turkish startup company that's doing it. And the video, I'm not sure how much of the sounds were actually from the robot or built into the robot to just make sounds like it's transforming.
See, I didn't even think about watching the video. I just thought somebody did that in post. But if it actually does it when it's transforming,
I think that those sounds from when it was transforming were legit. They added some like really epic music to the background, which kind of threw me off a little bit. But I think that the robot transforming, I think that that might have been like staged sounds.
I hope so, because that would be really annoying if it had speakers in here. You know, because it you have to watch the video, and it's pretty interesting. So it's a red BMW, and literally what you see is that the video I saw, I don't know if there's two of them, but the video I saw is the door parts are already popped out.
Yeah.
And so, like he said, the hood moves up, things happen, and before you know it, it's this like 30-foot robot.
See, and you watched it. There's 30 seconds before where it drives out and then pops the arm hood things
out. I never saw that video. Yeah. I never saw that version.
I'll have to show it to you when we're done with the show.
So what do you think? So I'm thinking this is more of like an art piece. I don't know what the company does is the problem. I couldn't find a whole lot of money. See, I'm thinking if this is a hydraulic and company, you know, like a car company, this would be a great calling card. You know, if they're like a West Coast Customs type of thing.
Right.
I think that would be a great, you know, that's a great gimmick. You know, see, insert name here, and the transforming BMW.
The thing is that it cannot walk. It also can just barely move its arms. So it's not really I think it's really impractical.
I think this is more of a demo to see what they can do, because I don't.
Yeah, the company even said like, hey, if you guys give us money, we'll make it better.
Because there's a lot of stuff, because you're going to need gyros. There's some stuff into legitimately making it walk that you're going to need. And it's, no, this is basically like a monster truck. This is a calling card. This is something that everybody's going to be talking to them. This is something they're going to bring to shows in Turkey and other countries, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Nothing major.
And it is cool, though. I mean,
it is pretty cool.
I do want to know, is it a Decepticon or, you know?
Well, it's a nice car. So it's an Autobot.
Is it an Autobot?
From what I understand about Transformers, it seems like all of the cool cars and the nice cars are Autobots, and Decepticons are all like military vehicles.
You know, that's true. I'm going to have to rewatch the original series
from
my childhood.
Yeah, there are a
lot
of planes and Jeeps for Decepticons.
That's funny.
Now, another thing that we wanted to talk to you guys about. Now, a while back, we talked about that Megabot that was being built to fight that robot in Japan in the YouTube series that is transpiring around the building of this robot.
By the way, even this particular story has me excited. I was like, I really want them to do like a pay-per-view, because I'll spend $40 to watch this, honestly.
Oh, man. I would love to see this if they go to like a special bar set up for the event. I would go and just have such a good time.
Give me a beer and popcorn. I'm set.
Oh, definitely. Now, one of the things that's kind of cool is they decided that now they're going through testing it to see if they want to make sure it's safe. So when it comes to like military tech, I guess in the battlefield, it really doesn't matter as much. But and I guess the advantage of using robots is the distance they put between you and the battle. But they want to make sure that if you're doing giant robot battles for sport, that the pilot isn't going to die.
That's handy. It's nice to know you're not going to be killing people when you're trying to have an exhibition.
Now, one of the things that they did to test this was, so you know that paint cannon that they built?
Yeah.
So if essentially it fires this load that they're trying to get to blind the pilot of the other thing. So it's like a goopy, gross kind of load for the paint. And so the idea is to shoot it at the pilot, have it cover the whatever is in front of them.
The screen or wind. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this reminds me of a movie, Robot Jocks.
I never saw it.
You should watch it, because this is very similar in some ways to what they're doing.
Well, it reminds me a lot of course, like, you know, Gundams and Pacific Rim and that sort of thing. Now, what happened was when they fired the thing, like, so they took the cannon off of the robot and fired it at itself. It was a pretty close range, though. Like, to be fair, it was almost point blank, but it busted through the cabinet of the like the metal grate in between the pilot and the robot itself, and it sent enough force to actually kill the pilot.
Really?
Yeah, so they're going to have to rework that. Also, what they did was they took a wrecking ball with the idea that the other robot would punch their robot, and the wrecking ball, I think, had like 3,000 more like pounds to it than the actual punch of the robot. And so they kept hitting it with a wrecking ball to see if it would cause enough force and blunt trauma to the pilot to kill him, and it didn't.
Then
they knocked it over.
Now, I'm curious about when they fired the paint round. Is it just straight coming out of it? Is it, I forgot the term, but there's a way you can fire something like a round object out of a gun, is you put this sheath around it, and when you fire it, as soon as it comes out of the barrel, the sheath goes away and the object goes down. Is it something like that, or is it like
a
big
paintball cannon?
No, it's
more like a cannon.
Okay, so it's just basically like a big paintball round.
Pretty much. It's like flat on the back, but it's essentially the same shape and size as a bullet.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty big, too. Like it's about the size of my head.
Wow.
Now, when it hit the robot itself, it actually punched through the metal grate in between the pilot and the robot. Like, it punched through it, hit the guy, and it was enough G's to actually kill a man. So they're going to have to ramp it down a bit, because it's a little bit too dangerous. Now, they also, I said, hit it with a wrecking ball and then knocked it over to see, like, worst case scenario, if the robot gets knocked over, will the pilot survive? Well, the pilot would survive, but they would just be very unhappy, because you probably break something. Like, judging by how the dummy was twisted and everything, like, I really feel like they're going to really need to revamp the cage that the pilot is in.
It's funny. I can't get off the gun thing, and I'm thinking, sorry.
No,
I'm thinking what they should do is have a long range and a short range mode. That would allow you to do, like, a long distance shot in the short range, so you don't kill somebody. Like, how do you do that and make sure the person does it?
Well, there's the Canon on one side, and then there's the one that launched, like, the T-shirts. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the multi-launcher. That actually was my favorite part, was watching that come out, because that was pretty impressive.
So I think the multi-launcher is safe. I just think that the Canon itself is not.
I could totally see it, and it's probably not too difficult to ramp down, because it's probably just, you know, like the Mythbusters did.
Right. Well, you're just going to have to test it until it finally is at safe levels. Now, one of the things that I think is also interesting is, like, if you take a look at the two different robots, the Japanese one is much more sleek and, like, kind of, it kind of reminds me of, like, have you watched, like, WALL-E?
Yeah.
You know how Eva is all sleek and perfect, Apple, and WALL-E is all this kind of janky, but it works forever, like PC.
Is that really surprising, though? I mean, because the Japanese have a history of, like, you know, the Gundams, mechs. Matter of fact, Transformers is a Japanese cartoon originally. And you get to America, if you look at anything that we have, it's bulky. So I'm not surprised.
We seem to pick efficiency over, like, style.
Is it bad that I want the Japanese one to win? It looks so cool. It's like watching, like, Gundam Wing. That's what it reminds
me of. I don't know.
I
like the American one. It reminds me of, like Halo.
Or that loader from Aliens.
Yes. Yes.
That's what actually reminds me of a lot. I like stuff like this. I mean, this is kind of like my childhood trope. Anything with a robot and a mech, I'll watch for good, you know, almost. So
pretty much. Me too.
I'm excited. I really do hope this becomes a thing. I don't know how, but, you know, if there was like a robot fighting
league. Well, they had like that, the what is it, the RC robot fighting league.
Oh, was that the one that took out
BattleBots?
Yes. Well, no, I'm thinking about, because there was a movie with Hugh Jackman. And they tried to do that whole thing. They had a guy by the name of Chris Jericho host, and it was hokey. But I want to see something like this for real. I think I love the robot fighting arena stuff.
Well, and hopefully, if they don't put it on pay-per-view, they're probably going to put it on their YouTube channel. And if they put it on the YouTube channel, you should come over and we'll watch it.
I'm down with that. Or you can come up the hill.
Ah, sure.
Come to the middle of nowhere. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming on a break. And we come back from the break, we'll be talking about hacking.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm Shay Northrup.
And I'm Jonathan Charney.
And this is episode 38. Now we're going to talk to you about a little bit of hacking.
Now, do you know what an insulin pump is? Not an insulin pump, an insulin pump.
We've talked about it a few times on the show and how we'd like there to be better insulin pump technology.
So for you out there who don't know what an insulin pump is, more or less, I'm a little dumbing it down a tad, but basically it acts as a pancreas for people who don't have one, but just theirs don't work, the diabetics. And unfortunately, there seems to be, with at least one particular one, the One Touch Ping specifically, has the ability to be hacked. And pretty much what it is, there's an unencrypted radio frequency communication system built into it that allows somebody to gain access to the device. Now, the probability of anyone accessing the pump without authorization was extremely low, but you still can be hacked. Now, I'm assuming basically what this does is you can change the insulin ratios. Now,
yeah,
what it is
that's a little scary.
You can make it low or too high, and either one can be deadly for the diabetic. So pretty much what you have to do is it's balancing out sugar. So if a diabetic person has too much sugar or too many things that turn into sugar in your body, they take insulin to help dial that back down so their body can process it.
Now, I don't really see the use case for people actually hacking you unless they want you dead.
See, this is what I'm thinking. I don't think this would be for the average person, but say if we had a president, a congressman,
right,
or somebody really important, like say a Princess Diana had one and somebody just didn't like her. Now, according from the things I've read, it says it's not a sophisticated technology to break into it. There is very inexpensive software to find radios that can be had for around $300 to hack radio frequencies. It requires some skill in reverse engineering network protocols and wireless, he continued, but those skills are broadly extended in security community. So pretty much anybody with any sort of background in technology could probably hack it if they really wanted to do it.
Yeah, I can't understand. Like, I'm wondering what the range is on this. How close you'd have to be in order for it to work.
Or how big of an antenna do you need?
Yeah, that too.
So and this is kind of pie in the sky, so put your tinfoil hat on, ladies and gentlemen. So imagine there was a presidential motorcade, kind of JFK-esque, you know, or something like that, and their president was riding his limo, waving hands and all that, and he passed a building, and it was just enough of a time that he passed through that building so you could mess with his pump.
Or, you know, there's a van waiting on the, you know.
Yeah, something
wherever.
Kind of, yeah, something kind of like a drama movie thriller-esque.
Well, I guess this might be a little insensitive, but I guess if you're an assassin, then you can put this in your repertoire.
Yeah, and it probably wouldn't be hard to make some sort of script kiddie tool, something you just hit a couple of buttons.
Right.
Now, there's a real risk to connected medical devices right now. The risk of service disruption due to those devices becoming infected by botnet malware and leveraged to support large denial of service attacks, maintained a gentleman by the name of Anthony DiBello. And this isn't the first medical device I've heard of being hacked. I heard of a gentleman a number of years ago hacking his pacemaker.
Really?
Which, by the way, I thought took guts because I'd be terrified of killing myself. But see, this is the problem I've been reading for a while. A lot of these connected devices or Internet of Things, the problem with it is a lot of the stuff, the firmware is never updated. The difference between like an iPhone and, say, an insulin pump is the iPhone's always updatable. How do you update something that's a life-saving device?
I guess if you, I don't know, I feel like if we started incorporating Wi-Fi technology into some of these devices, it might be more useful for updates and that sort of thing. That way you don't have to replace them all the time.
My major concern, to be completely honest, is I've had updates kill products.
That is true.
You could legitimately injure or kill somebody if, for example, the insulin pump. If you do something wrong, you can legitimately kill somebody.
I feel like at that point, then the provider is responsible.
Now, they do say the pump's wireless feature can be turned off. If that's done, however, the glucose reading in this particular model, the One Touch, will have to be entered manually on the pump. I'm assuming there's some sort of app for it. Honestly, maybe it's just my age, but I don't think everybody has to be connected. I don't know why that's a thing. I don't really understand why everything has to be able to connect to a phone, to a computer. You know, if something works and it's a life-saving device, I think keep it old school in some respects.
As long as better technology doesn't come along, you know what I mean?
No, I agree.
Like, we can't just stay in the past. Otherwise, we wouldn't be getting vaccines.
Or better way to talk to them. Encryption comes to mind.
Right.
Maybe
BlackBerry should, instead of making phones, maybe they should start making medical devices.
Right, or some sort of rotating key that you have to enter in every once in a while. Something that won't cause harm to an individual.
Now, one of the things that's also interesting in the world of hacking is the U.S. has officially accused Russia of hacking into the election. So this is a little interesting. So I'm going to read this as a quote because I'm not really sure how to feel about all of this. Only Russia's senior most officials could have authorized these activities. This afternoon, the United States Department of Homeland Security and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence released a statement claiming that Russian government directed the recent compromises of emails from U.S. persons and institutions, including from U.S. political organizations.
You know, part of me thinks is, well, this is important. I bet we do the same thing to them.
Yeah, and I know we did a lot of this in the Cold War era.
Well, specifically, there's a story I have in mind that they actually tapped a communications line. I don't remember if it was an audio communications line or a Morse code line, but we actually put some device that would actually record it. So we've been doing stuff like this for them for decades.
Well, and I know Russia has had a history of doing similar things to other European nations. They like to make sure that their best interest is kept intact.
But without getting too much into politics, I mean, hacking is a perfect tool for espionage. It's a perfect tool for the Cold War, for example. So I do think it's going to get worse. The issue I actually have is, how come it's vulnerable?
Yeah, that's one of the things. We've talked about this a little bit before, about how, for some reason, the White House doesn't seem to think that national security from hacking is a big deal. No, remember the DMC got hacked?
Yeah.
DNC, my bad.
I just don't understand why government things are hackable. I mean, you think if this is something, the elections department or whatever it actually is super important. You think they'd have some heavy-duty encryption that can't be broken, that you require special uses or keys or something. Instead, it's probably on some old 386 somewhere in the basement. I mean, I don't understand why we're so lackadaisical on security. And it's not – hire a couple of people, honestly. Hire
right.
a couple of kids out of college.
I really feel like it's this whole – baby boomers have been doing it, and they've been doing it forever, and this is the way they've done it, and they're not wanting to change. It wouldn't surprise me if they're using, what, Microsoft Millennial?
Oh,
like we were talking about last episode.
Oh, God, I hope not. I do think you're right, though. I think this is an age thing. I think this is people who don't either see the need for it or don't understand it or have a different mindset
I think
about
it's
it.
All of the above.
And I think that's the problem. You live in the internet generation. I think my co-host is more of the actual internet generation because he grew up with it. I didn't really grow up with it because it's a good portion of my childhood. It wasn't accessible to people like me. But I think this is the problem. Since I've been growing up, and definitely Shay has, where you talk about internet security. You know, you tell your little kid, hey, don't do this. I think it's time we tell our congressman, hey, don't do that.
We need to I feel like we just need to hire a bunch of IT people for the government.
Right. Well, it's just like what Kevin, I don't know if you're familiar with the gentleman by the name of Kevin McNitt. He was held, he was particularly held, was it without due process and stuff for a while because they were afraid he was going to be able to launch nuclear weapons or something. And that's the problem. You do have congressmen, you have people who are elected and unelected who don't understand technology. I think what we need to do is we need to figure out how to tell people in office about technology. We need to secure the elections department is the number one thing that, you know, there's a bunch of stuff, but I do think we need to ramp up security.
Oh, most definitely. That, without a doubt. Now, that is all the time we have for the show. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter. Please let us know what you think of the show. You can also find us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and GSMCpodcast.com.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
GSMCpodcast.com.
And for Jonathan Charney
and Shay Northrup,
as always, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.